Boom, what up? Hello, bonjour, and hola, real leaders. This is Kevin Edwards, your host here, and I am so excited you're tuning in to one of our amazing experiences. What you're about to hear is going to be fresh, real, and loaded with inspiration, guaranteed to support your impact journey. So sit back, enjoy the listen, folks, share a review afterward, and always keep it real. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome, everybody, to this episode of the Real Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Edwards. Alongside me today, folks, we have Helen Hoogboom, the CEO of Renewable. Helen, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you. It's nice having
you. Are you smiling at my pronunciation?
Yeah, it's really difficult. It's a Dutch name, so it's everybody's struggling with that.
The Dutch. Well, Helen, it's a pleasure to have you on the program today. I'm really excited to just dive into the world of Renewable, this industry. Of course, you're a disruptor in this industry, and that maybe might be a good place to start. Is maybe how you could answer this question is like, what's your experience in the tennis ball, padel ball industry? What's your background?
Well, I worked 30 years in advertising. I worked at TBWA, so I don't, I don't have experience in the sporting industry as such. Oh. But I had my brother and my mother were very fanatic tennis players, and our family is really good in ball sports. So I was, and we are. I'm sporty, so that also helps. And so I think the combination, and we launched in COVID time, and the only sport you actually could do here in Europe was tennis and paddle. Mm. So that was also something that brought us into this business as well. So this is a good, sport is always good, even if there's something like COVID, you can continue. And that's a little bit in short my background.
I want to get to like the spark of inspiration for the company, maybe about the origin story. Like, when was the idea realized and when did you actually take action on it?
In 2019, ABN AMRO ABN AMRO is one of a big Dutch bank, and they have an ATP tournament here in Rotterdam. And because my partner, who also was a colleague of mine at TBWA, he got an assignment from the tournament to get more sustainable. And first they were looking into maybe we can do something with recycling shoes, but that seemed to be difficult. And then they thought, okay, maybe we can do something with the balls. And then they took a deep dive into the whole ball situation. And then they found out, oh, well, that sounds really good also because the tournament in Rotterdam is an indoor ATP tennis tournament. And there were a lot of, after each match, there were a lot of yellow vessels on the court and in the corners. So they saw a lot of the microplastics in the corners of the court. So they had to clean it all the time. And ABN AMRO was the one who said, well, maybe we can make a ball. And so that's when we developed the sustainable, but that was a very bad tennis ball. And they gave it to clients. It's just as a giveaway. And then actually we found out that there was a lot of appetite for a sustainable tennis ball, especially with the story behind it, that we use a lot of tennis balls and that they contain microplastics, and every time you hit the ball, they spread around. Indoors you inhale it, and outdoors it ends up in the ground, and then in the end it ends up in the rivers and in the sea. So that's when we started to develop Renewable, but we also wanted to have a high performance ball, so not like a bad tennis ball, because otherwise nobody wants to play with your ball. So we had to have an ITF approval, which is an approval from the International Tennis Federation. So we got that, which was our kind of high performance mark. And then we launched also in 2022 our paddle ball, and that has also the certification from the International Paddle Federation. And paddle is not that big in the US yet, but I think it's coming.
Oh, it's coming. Oh, it's definitely coming. It's here. It's definitely here in San Diego where I am. And increasingly coming. Of course, if you've seen a paddle game, you'll know why it's increasing. It's so fun to watch and unique. But let me go back to this innovative approach. I think every impact company essentially is an innovative company. And the sport over many, many years, of course, if you've seen tennis rackets and you know, for a long time ago, the sport has come a long way, but tennis balls, not as much, at least in my mind, it hasn't really changed as often. So what were the early constraints or challenges in finding materials at an affordable price, of course, to build?
Now, of course, to be sustainable, we want to produce locally, and I think all the manufacturers disappeared from Europe to Southeast Asia, so there are no manufacturers here anymore. So there's not a lot of knowledge here. So that also made it difficult to actually find a factory who can produce our ball, but also develop the felt, because the felt is also made of wool from sheep in Europe, and the felt of normal, the other brand, is from sheep in New Zealand. So it's also very new to use European sheep. First of all, we try to work with Dutch sheep because they're famous as well, but they were not suitable. So now it's sheep from Norway and Yorkshire we use in our felt, and so we don't use any polyester or nylon, no microplastic. So there were a lot of challenges, and that's also why it took a while before we got the ITF approval, because you should understand, we collect old used balls in tennis clubs in Europe. In the Netherlands, ABN AMRO was the sponsor of this whole collection process. So they put collection bins sponsored by ABN AMRO at tennis clubs and padel clubs. And we collect the balls. And then we sort the balls, because you can imagine you have Dunlops, Heads, Wilson, Technifiber, all kind of balls in a bin. And our recipe is, for example, two Wilson, one Dunlop, one Head. And you make a mix like a Coca-Cola recipe from that. All
That's
those
cool.
balls, and you have to find the right mix. It should be stable, it should be performing. And then also this felt, 100% sheep wool, is also super new. So it took a while before we got this ITF approval, although not a lot of consumers don't know what it is, but it was important also to get into retail and all those
Well, it's got the perfect name, I think. Renewable and
Yeah.
collectible. It's just
Yeah.
money. I love it.
Yeah.
But I wanna like just again, if anyone's listening to this, like I will get later to the question of pricing, like what are the economics of this. But I think what's really important is that, you know, you're continuing to push barriers, your boundaries, you know, and continue to innovate. And do things that are complex that do take time to do. But what I'm hearing is it's collecting all the balls and then finding a sustainably sourced wool to create these balls. Now we have the renewable. Tell me a little bit about that. Now that you have a product, obviously you have a huge market to fill. How was the expansion of sales go? Yeah, how has it gone for you, and what has worked so far?
Well, the good thing is that a lot of retailers and clubs are getting more and more into sustainability. So big retailers here also have a sustainable strategy, and they want to show that they're actually serious and want to do something about it. So for us, it was not that, what I say, an easy sell, but it was, we really were part of their sustainable strategy, because having us on their shelves told the story about, okay, we have to be sustainable, and actually we're doing something. And also some retailers collect old used balls for us, so they have our bins in retail, and they also collect shoes and all other stuff. So I think that's important, although our balls, the margin at our balls is not that high yet, but that will change over time. So it's good that they have patience to actually sell our ball. As part of their sustainable strategy. And also what you see, especially here in Europe, that a lot of tennis clubs have sustainable people that are responsible for sustainability at a tennis club or a paddle club. So first of all, they were thinking about solar panels and LED lighting, but they're also now seeing how many balls they're using. So that we got approached by these people. Hey, we hear about you have this ball, and maybe we can also start collecting. In the Netherlands, it's sponsored by ABN AMRO, but cleaning up the mess of others costs money. So some clubs pay themselves, some clubs have a local sponsor. We even have a club here in the Netherlands that the bin is sponsored by a local bike maker. So nice, you know. So actually, it's really a community thing of making this happen, and don't put all the balls in incineration or in put it away as waste.
It makes a lot of sense, and this is really kind of the whole stakeholder philosophy, right? It's if you can build relationships with your suppliers, your vendors, the community. You know, you can source, for instance, in your case, these products for, you know, virtually nothing to get the materials you need to recreate this product. Maybe for like anyone out there listening to this, what's been the community's role and your supplier's role in your success so far?
Yeah, I think that you can only solve and be more sustainable if you collaborate. That's my feeling. So there is no competition in collaborate. Every part of the supply chain also has to actually do something and be smarter and look better in how to make things more sustainable. And it's from sourcing to retailers, consumers. So I think it's the only way you can do it.
Yeah, definitely. And now the question comes, you know, especially that a lot of leaders in our community are not struggling with, but like trying to figure out and sort out, is the economics. Now, you had mentioned earlier, the margins aren't quite where you want them to be, but you do expect them to grow. Could you elaborate more on that and explain what you mean by this?
Well, a lot of brands produce in the Far East, and you can imagine that it's much cheaper to produce there because of labor is cheaper. Everything is cheaper there. We produce here, so, but that's the good thing because we pay normal salaries and that kind of stuff. So it's more expensive to produce locally, in the end. But I think we will getting better in and more efficient and also learning how to actually make the product even better on impact level, but also on pricing level, because I think an sustainable product shouldn't be more expensive. It should be accessible for everybody, even for Gen Z. It should be a no-brainer to choose our brand over another brand on the shelf, because you don't need to change behavior, but it should be on the same price level. Otherwise, we don't solve the problem at all. So we want to make it accessible for everybody.
So here we are in the conversation is how do we solve that? Like, what do you think is a solution to compete, you know, with the Dunlops, the Heads, who I haven't done the research, but you're telling me they produce them and manufacture the balls, you know, in much less expensive areas. So what do you think is the solution?
Now I think we should collaborate, mm-hmm. first of all, you know?
Sure.
I think we all should solve this problem. It's not only renewable, I think, but all the other brands should look closely into their solutions as well. And they're coming up with solutions with, you know, how they can expand the life of a bowl by introducing a pump where you can put gas in it. But in the end, that's a temporary solution because after a while, this bowl has an end of life situation. And so you have to think of what's happening with this bowl end of life. And also there are a lot of initiative I know in the US as well, they downcycle. So what they do is actually collect the balls at tennis clubs. But then what they do is they make sporting floors from it or You know, stuff for in horse arenas so the horses can walk on it. But in the end, you have to think of what's happening with that material after 10 years, after the wear out of the sporting floor. So it's only a temporary solution. So I think everybody should look more into the end of life situation and not into temporary solution, which is 10, 20 years, but what's going to happen after the wear out of a sporting floor.
Right. And I don't know if we've mentioned this already, but your tennis balls are biodegradable. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, awesome. The felt is biodegradable.
The felt is biodegradable.
The rubber is not biodegradable. Would be nice, but that's, I think, impossible. But no, the felt is biodegradable. So when you inhale it, it's just wool. So it's a natural product. So and when you inhale felt with polyester nylon, you inhale microplastics.
Got it. And so in this stage that you're in right now, what does it look like on the dashboard for a CEO? What are some of the key things you're paying attention to?
Well, at the moment, I think the most important thing is it's a volume business. So we need to create volume because then the impact is also higher. So the more balls we produce, that means the more balls we collect because the old balls are feedstock for our new balls. And somebody asked me once, how do you want to grow? And I think I also want to grow. We grow by cleaning up the mess of others. So the more containers and the more bins, collection bins we put at retailers, tennis clubs, paddle clubs, the more feedstock we have for our balls, the more balls we can produce. So then the impact will be lower.
And tell me how you're innovating there. I mean, I'm sure you've got some creative ideas with collections other than just the bin. Is there any innovation or creativity going on there that's exciting for you?
Now, first of all, we have a lot of innovations on our dashboard at the moment. No, I think first we want to get the recycled content of the ball up. So we really want to have more recycled content in our bowl, but in sustainability you have to start somewhere, and there is also a fine line between performance and the, you know, the recycled material in the bowl. So I think that's a first step we really want to focus on, and we're focusing in right now. And then of course for the bins and so on, we switched already bins. So actually what we do now is we collect more balls at a time, so that also saved CO2 emissions, because a truck who needs to pick up the balls will pick up now more balls in one time instead of going many more times to a club. So there are so many buttons we can press on, but you can only do one or two at a time.
So major focus for you is cleaning up another mess. So collection of balls, which of course reduce the cost for you. What are some other initiatives on kind of your dashboard that are kind of in direction with your overall company goal?
Well, I think the main goal is to look at making our impacts less. So if we get a lot of renewables in the market, we can recognize our own balls and we can reuse our wool, which saved another 40% of CO2 emissions. There's so many things we can look at. You can look at packaging, you can look at all kind of different things, how to make the impact better.
And just as someone who, you know, is a tennis player, you know, loves just kind of working with athletes, is there a few athletes that, just from your marketing lens, I'm sure, like, that you've collaborated with who really do enjoy not just the sustainability aspects, but also the performance of the ball?
Yes, we of course have tested with a lot of players, padel and tennis, and they for padel, for example, they like it because it's within the IPF and FIP regulations, it bounces nicely and it's a stiff ball, so you can really smash really well with it and play outside the court. And I think that's really nice for advanced paddle players, because that's what you want. And also, and for tennis, yeah, I think it's a good ball for like it's a type 2 ball, which means it's not an ATP tournament ball. So that's a special ball. It's a type 1 ball, but all the tournament levels below ATP, it's a perfect ball to play with.
And just like, continue, sorry.
No. That's, I wanted to tell.
Well, you know, you have so much going on and, you know, so little time as it's perceived, right? Tell me a little bit more about how you're doing on a personal level, balancing all these things. I mean, what is your calendar, your regimen, your daily kind of schedule look like? And just for folks listening to this, currently it's 10:30 PM where Helen is. So, you know, obviously it's a long day for another CEO. Tell me how you're doing personally.
Well, the thing is that we were talking about having fun, and I think this is the best job I've ever had, because it makes my daughter super proud. One of my daughters is working at the UN in Geneva, and they ask, what's your mom doing? What's your dad doing? And she explained what I was doing, and they were like, oh, wow, you know, it's great. But actually, they were the one. They are the one addressing the fact that I had to do something which is more sustainable. Before I worked in advertising, you're pushing any products, you don't look at is this sustainable or whatever. It's just, you know, important to push those products. And because they and they are super into sustainability, so they don't buy fast fashion, and I don't eat meat, and you know, all those kind of things. I thought I have to do something as well. So that gives me a lot of energy in this company as well. It's sports. I like sports a lot. And everybody likes it. You know, I just told you, I come from an event where there were like 70 startups, and there were all tech and other AI. And I have just a physical product. I have a tennis ball, and everybody knows tennis. Everybody played tennis, and also now here padel is huge in Europe. So, and everybody likes to play padel. So it gives so much fun and satisfaction to work for this company, because there you feel that there's something going to happen, and everybody likes it. It's an incredible story. So that's fun. And you know, actually, at the moment we are in the last round of funding. So we get in a funding round. So it's from 8 in the morning until 7 or 8, reading contracts. But still, you know, it's you look at the bigger picture, and it's super nice. Yeah.
What's the raise?
Yeah.
What's the raise?
I can't tell you. Sorry.
Oh, it's confidential. Okay.
Yeah. It will go out, come out soon, but yeah.
Well, good luck with the raise. Of course, if the investors are watching, right? Well, that's helpful. And, you know, again, it's been fun to kind of learn about the renewable and kind of your story and how this has evolved. You know, one of the questions as we kind of conclude here, I just want to ask, and I ask a few of the CEOs that come on. It's just like, you know, when think about it, like when you're at your best, performing your best, like what emotion are you feeling? Is it confidence? Is it joy? Is it passion? Like what emotion?
No, I think it's energy, lots of energy, you know? And it's, I think there's putting energy and effort in this company is so, yeah, it gives so much fun, and there's so much to do. And first of all, a lot of people were not aware of this whole ball thing, how bad they are, you know. What I learned, but I don't know whether it's true, but I heard that in the US, when you buy, everybody throws his balls away, tennis balls away, after one match. That's a different case. People use their balls a little bit longer, but the quality of the balls also is different in the US than here in Europe. It's a different ball game. There are a lot of expressions with balls, huh? So that's also nice. So there's so much to do and so much to tell about this this subject.
So being energized is kind of when you're at your best. You're in your flow state. When you're at your worst, everyone's been there. When you're at your worst, like what emotion comes to mind?
There may be frustration, probably.
Frustration.
Yeah, when things, because we are a startup, I was also, I needed to raise money, of course. So I called myself 3 years chief begging officer, asking for money everywhere and looking for investors. And I think that in the beginning, everybody is like enthusiastic and sees the necessity to actually do something about it. But then sometimes in the end, they say, oh, yeah, well, come back when you're profitable or come back this or that. And I'm sure. Like, yeah, well, that's why I need you now, when in 3 years, I don't need you. So there was also sometimes frustration. And I say, well, people really liked it. And then they didn't put the money where their mouth was. So
I get it. It's certainly something that a lot of founders, especially founders, who even pre-revenue, right, are kind of running into. And there's a lot of apprehension that comes along with that, but frustration. So at your best, you feel energized. And when you're at your worst, you're feeling frustrated. What's one emotion that comes to mind that could completely negate frustration? When you're in this state of mind, like it's impossible to feel frustrated. What is that to you?
I think frustration is for me the worst because I'm super positive for myself. So that's a little bit, I think, I don't know whether it's good or bad, but I'm always positive. So I always see an opportunity, although some things, because as a startup, we also struggled, of course, and there are things you have to overcome and some things you need to do, which are not things you want to do. But you still look into the future. And, that's maybe my problem. I'm always positive.
So just to clarify here, being positive is certainly something that could negate frustration. How would you describe that though? Like what state of mind, what do you have to like, is that feeling peaceful? Is that feeling empathy to that would just completely negate this frustration, obviously with investors, things like that. Like how do you, what's the state of mind that it's impossible to be frustrated? That's the question.
It's impossible to be frustrated. Well, I think I can forget things. I just what I do if something like that, if I get a no, for example, then I'm so like, yeah, okay, I'm frustrated for maybe for 10, 15 minutes, and then I'm like, okay, let's forget it, on to the next thing. I sleep really well. Although in the very hard times, I don't feel stressed about anything and at all.
Right. Is that like a sense of belief? Is that like a sense? Is that just a sense of, whatever, flush and next one, short-term memory?
Yeah, maybe. And I think if you keep on worrying about things for long, you maybe miss opportunities or, you keep on busy with the negative things. And I think you should be more focused on the positive things.
Right. Optimistic. I like that. And I want to just ask that question because I think optimism, I want to give you that word. I want you to focus on that word anytime you're feeling frustrated, because I think that that's something that's really special and unique to you. Not a lot of CEOs would answer it that way. So just always an exercise. I like to kind of say, hey, who is this individual and what is their special? I'm going to give that to you today. Optimism is you, Helen. In all of this, I want you to bring this home and ask you the last question. We ask everybody that comes on this program, which is, Helen, what is your definition of a real leader?
Well, I like the name real leader because I think a real leader is somebody who doesn't see any obstacles and want to overcome those obstacles and really has a purpose. to make it happen. And I think it fit, you know, a real leader wants to make impact. And you know, that's the main goal, I guess. We should all should have. I think there you cannot be a leader anymore. You have to be a real leader for any company, whether it's a sustainable company or not. Because I think if you're not a sustainable company at the moment, you should become sustainable, and the CEO should become a real leader.
Helen, definitely want to talk to you after the show. But for Helen Hogeboom, I'm Kevin Edwards, asking you to go out there, realize the obstacle is indeed the way, and always keep it real. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you.
Hey, Real Leaders, thanks again for listening to this amazing episode. And if you're someone like me who goes all the way to the end just to make sure I can extract as much information, education, and inspiration out of every single interview, might I suggest you check out our magazine. If you go online to realleaders.com today, you're going to get the first 30 days for free, where you're going to be able to access all of our magazines, courses, and live events from some of the top thought leaders around the world. All you have to do is go online to realleaders.com and click the subscribe button in the top right corner to get your free 30-day trial right now. Again, that's real-leaders.com. Thanks again for being a real leader, and always keep it real.